This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, eternal, unbroken, verbally inspired word. The voice of truth is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to stay tuned to hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr., on the subject, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom and knowledge, which is number 210 in this series.
We find in Ephesians 4:8 that when Christ ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. This is the Holy Spirit calling, commissioning, empowering individuals to bring the body of Christ into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, that the church may witness of Christ. Then to qualify those whom he brings to Christ for salvation, he gives unto each other believer a gift or such gifts as needed for that purpose of witnessing of Christ. Now, with your Bibles in hand, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12:1. 1 Corinthians 12:1, and read, will you? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, literally spirituals or spiritualities, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another the word of faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues or languages, to another the interpretation of tongues or languages. But all these worketh that one, and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. The first thing we notice here is that the Holy Spirit gives gifts through Christ for service to born-again believers who are filled with his Spirit. And I want you to notice that God never gives all of these gifts to one individual. For in verse 8 he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Then in the 9th verse, to another faith, to another gifts of healing. And in the 10th verse it says, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another diverse kinds of tongues or languages, to another the interpretation of languages. I have met many people who on being introduced to them would say to me, Brother Shelton, I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, have the evidence of speaking in tongues, and have all 9 gifts of the Spirit. I don't know how many scores have said that to me. That is contrary to the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit has never given all gifts to one individual in their fullness. No, he hasn't. In our study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit bestowed upon the born-again believer for service, let's first call your attention to this great fact, and that is how the Holy Spirit prepares that individual and makes him ready to receive such gifts as will fit him for service in the body of Christ, that is, his church. This work is accomplished first in the salvation of his soul. Right here is where practically all error comes concerning the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and His gifts to the born-again believers. The first thing you be sure of is that you have been born again. Now you face the one question. Do you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior? A person who has never been saved or made a new creature in Christ can have no concern about the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the working of the Holy Spirit except His convicting power in bringing you to know Christ. Now you face that one question, face it fairly and squarely. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember one thing. The Holy Spirit does not give the believer one thing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you learn that thing. You will learn it. We have learned from the study of God's Word in our own personal salvation in Christ Jesus that the Holy Spirit brooding over an individual to bring him to Christ withers all his flesh, and the glory of the flesh fades away. He will hide pride from that individual. This will take place in the salvation of your soul. This truth is brought out so clearly in Isaiah 46. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." We see here in this passage of Scripture that in the salvation of an individual, the Holy Spirit brings that man to the end of all flesh. Now, it is imperative that you see that thing. The Holy Spirit breathes upon the flesh of man, and man is made to see and to know and to acknowledge that it is all under the judgment of God. He is made to see under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that everything that he was or could boast of has faded away. Pride is hid from him, and he's made to see that he has nothing that God will accept. The Holy Spirit makes the sinner see that God rejects all natural ability, all natural gifts that he may have when he is brought to Christ for salvation. The sinner is brought to see and to acknowledge that he has nothing in God's sight, and that all the glory of the flesh, which might express itself in natural talents, natural gifts, or natural abilities, is worthless. God will have none of it. He is made to see and to know that all his works are works of darkness, dead works, wicked works. God sets them all aside and brings a sinner to know two things. First, he's a lost, hell-deserving sinner, and God will have nothing that he has. Second, Christ died for such a sinner as he is and paid his sin debt in full. It is there that Christ is revealed to that sinner's heart as his own personal Lord and Savior. If you've never been there, you know nothing about salvation, and therefore nothing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something, friend. If God doesn't wither through the power of the Holy Spirit all of your flesh life and all the glory of your old flesh and bring you down to the place of death, if he should give you one thing, you would boast about it. Pride would lift you up. It would. I know modern day preaching tries to lead men to dedicate their talents or their natural gifts to the Lord and use them to the Lord's glory. For illustration, here's a beautiful, talented young woman in music. And they'll say to her, "Oh, now, come on, dedicate your talent of music to the Lord." Let me say to you, friend, God doesn't want it. God doesn't have to have it. It's abomination in the sight of God until that woman is born again and made a new creature in Christ, because she, with all of her natural talent, is under the judgment of God. Then if God wills, he may translate that into spiritual values but he doesn't have to. He may set it aside forever if he so chooses. When an individual is selected according to their natural talent, it is diabolical and does nothing but puff that individual up and makes them a twofold more the child of hell than they were before. When God saves a sinner, makes him a new creature in Christ, he gives that sinner the gift or gifts which will fit him for service in the body of Christ. But don't forget this one fact. Before God ever saves an individual and bestows spiritual gifts upon that individual, he sets aside all natural gifts, all natural talents. And that individual comes to see and to know that he is absolutely dependent upon Christ for everything. This is one truth you must learn. You will learn it before you ever get saved. If you do not, you will always be confused, easily misled regarding spiritual gifts. And that's the reason you'll boast about it all the time. You'll just boast about it, of what you think you have. You don't have anything, but you boast about it. The so-called baptism of the Holy Spirit today, which is nothing in the world but the baptism of the demon spirit, does not change an individual, because no saved individual will seek the Holy Spirit. And God does not sanctify the old flesh, and the gifts he gives, he's puffed up, and pride ruins him. The gifts that you think you have. You see, we're having to clear away a lot of rubbish before we can discuss spiritual gifts. Another thing that let's face, and that is the Holy Spirit is sovereign and gives to every man severally as he will. The Holy Spirit is sovereign in his bestowal of a gift upon the born-again, spirit-filled believer. This is personal as salvation is personal, and it is as much of grace as salvation is of grace. In salvation, the Holy Spirit is sovereign in bringing the individual to Christ. In John 3:8, we find these words, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." In salvation, the Holy Spirit is invisible. "Thou hearest the sound thereof." He is inscrutable. "Thou knowest not whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth." He is indispensable. There can be no new birth apart from the Holy Spirit. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He is life-giving because Christ is our life. And without the Son of God, there is no life. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make Christ and the believer one, according to John 17:21. Then the Holy Spirit is irresistible. When the Holy Spirit wills to bring a sinner to Christ, all the power in and out of hell cannot stop him. So the Holy Spirit is sovereign. You can't dictate to him. You can't command him. He is also jealous. He will not impart his power to you apart from himself. The Holy Spirit never gives an individual power to do with as he pleases or as he wills. The Holy Spirit himself is the power of God. Now there's another basic fact I want to call your attention to in 1 Corinthians 12:3, and that is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Listen, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." You can only know the Lordship of Christ experimentally by and through the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to get this great truth, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit to a born-again believer grow out of the fact that Christ is your Lord. You folks who go around calling him Jesus and don't know him as Lord, you don't know anything about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The basic foundation of God's bestowal, get this truth, hold it, the basic foundation of God's bestowal of his spiritual gift upon his child is the Lordship of Christ. That is the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the basic foundation on which every doctrine of God's Word rests. I don't know whether you know it or not, but the doctrine of the sovereignty of God is greater than the doctrine of the cross. The doctrine of the sovereignty of God and the doctrine of the Lordship of Christ are greater than the doctrine of the cross of Christ. The doctrine of the Lordship of Christ and His sovereignty are greater than the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you settle this one question in your heart and settle it now. Is Christ your Lord? Brother, He's mine. I came to recognize Him as my Lord and crowned Him in my heart as my Lord before I was ever saved. And you'll do the same. So you see, when the Holy Spirit brings an individual to Christ and reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to the heart of that individual as his Lord and Savior, he takes control of that believer's heart and life, and then he bestows upon that individual such spirituals or spiritual gifts as he wills for service. Acts 1:8 says, you get this now, you get it, hold, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to notice that expression. Ye shall be, not might be, or maybe, or ought to be, but ye shall be witnesses unto me. So the bestowal of a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit upon a born-again believer is for the purpose of the individual witnessing unto Christ. He is not to witness of the Holy Spirit. He is to witness unto Christ. I wish you'd believe God's word. Listen to John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come unto you, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, Christ, for He shall receive a mind and shall show it unto you. He shall take a mind and shall show it unto you. You see, the Holy Spirit is taking the things of Christ and showing them unto the born-again believer. And when we become then we become witnesses unto Christ. We tell you what the Holy Spirit has taught us about Christ. And the Holy Spirit never speaks of Himself, but only of Christ. You folks come together and you talk about your baptism of the Spirit and your gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're speaking in tongues, and that is all of Satan. That's contrary to God's word. Man, wake up and see it. Every gift that the Holy Spirit bestows upon the born-again believer is for the purpose of witnessing of Christ. You're not to talk about the gift. You're not to magnify the gift. The gift is given to you to magnify Christ. And that's exactly what the born-again believer does. Nothing else. Remember, you never receive anything from God the Father by the Holy Spirit except through Christ to magnify Him. Now you hold that thing. The Holy Spirit who indwells the born-again believer and fills him and bestows such gifts upon him as he will, that individual is irresistible under the power of God's Holy Spirit in witnessing for his Lord. Brother, the only thing that can stop his lips is death, and you can't kill him until God's time. That individual becomes a child of destiny, and no power of Satan, the flesh of the world, can stop him or make him null and void. His testimony for his crucified, buried, and risen Lord. Let us remember this one great fact. The Holy Spirit is sovereign, and you can't make him do anything for you until he wills to do it. So it is the born-again believer's position to recognize that fact and ask him to give him such gifts as he will. Let me put it like this. As a born-again believer, you put yourself at God's disposal to use you as he will. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto thee the more excellent way. It is just like a sinner in salvation. You can ask God to save you, but you can't make God save you. So in regard to spiritual gifts, you can ask God to bestow His gifts upon you through His Spirit, but you cannot make Him do it. Let us recognize this great fact and ask Him to bring us and all that we are to rest completely upon Him, that the Holy Spirit may bestow such a gift as He pleases. It is also the work of the Holy Spirit to place the born-again believer where He wills for service. It is not our business to choose the place of service, but to leave it entirely up to the Holy Spirit to place us where He wills. Now, I want you to hold your seat right here. Come on, hold your seat. Now, you get this fact. Any individual who has to pull strings, religiously or otherwise, to get a place of service is not led of the Holy Spirit. When you see any preacher or religious leader in the church going around pulling strings, trying to get this job or that job, this pastor or that pastor and so on, is not led of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will place His workers where He wants them, irrespective of Satan's opposition. Now, if I didn't believe that, I'd quit. Brother, if God has called you to a place, you may have to wait 20 years, but He'll put you there. Now, let's notice the different gifts as set forth in God's Word that the Holy Spirit gives to every man severally as he will. There's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of languages, the interpretation of languages, and then last covering all is love. These 10 different gifts the Holy Spirit bestows upon the body of Christ, the church, for service and witnessing unto Christ. And He bestows them severally as He wills. Every saved individual can expect the Holy Spirit to give him at least one gift for service in witnessing unto Christ. Now, the first gift mentioned here is the word of wisdom. This gift He bestows upon born-again believers, whom He controls at His will. In James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom is the faculty of forming a sound judgment in a given matter. How foolish a believer can act sometimes when he does not have the word of wisdom. We are told the most foolish animal living is a sheep. Believers in the word of God are called sheep. Therefore, we need the word of wisdom. If we do not have it, we'll jump to conclusions, and our judgment will be faulty. The born-again believer will recognize this great fact, that he does not have any wisdom, and that the wisdom is a gift of the Spirit. And the Word says that we can ask for it, and God will give it to us. Now, how does He bestow the word of wisdom upon us? 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is made unto us wisdom. How often, recognizing that fact, have I asked the Holy Spirit to make Christ unto me wisdom? He is my wisdom. Many times coming up against problems, I've cried out in my very soul, Lord, be to me wisdom. I don't know how to solve it. I don't know what to do. Then Christ, by the Holy Spirit, is made unto me wisdom. And if you'll place wisdom as the first gift, I do not care what gift you may have. If you do not have wisdom to apply it, you become a fool, always making blunders that are seemingly uncalled for. So let every born-again believer realize that Christ is made unto us wisdom. He is our wisdom. And how wonderful to walk with Him. And through His Word, He shows us how to live, how to walk, and what to do by His Spirit. Christ is our wisdom. If you do not know Christ, you do not have wisdom. Then the second gift is the word of knowledge. This means a clear perception of truth or a fact. It is the discernment between truth and error. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He also said, before He went back to heaven, I will send you the Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of knowledge. Then we are told that Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, no man can understand the great eternal truths of God's eternal Word apart from the gift of knowledge. And that gift is Christ, because all the knowledge of the Godhead rests in Christ. And knowledge is the Holy Spirit taking the things of Christ and showing them unto us. Now, you learn that. How do you learn that? By reading and studying and meditating upon the Word of God and the Holy Spirit rightly dividing the Word of truth in your heart and mind. Listen, friends, it's until you breathe forth the Word of God. You see, all these gifts are tied up in the Lordship of Christ. Apart from the Lordship of Christ, you cannot even know the Saviorship of Jesus Christ. And so, if you say, God's given me that gift of knowledge of God's Word, and you go around and say, well, I don't believe what Sheldon's preaching. I've never been taught that way, so I just don't believe it. Wait a minute, friend. Do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? How do you have the gift of knowledge if you do not know the Lord as your Lord and Savior? You do not know Christ unless you've been brought at His feet as a lost, guilty sinner crying for mercy. Or you may learn some truths intellectually, but before they ever become a part of your being, food to your soul, and before you can ever have a clear intellectual concept or perception of them, they must be given to you or taught to you by the Holy Spirit. No man receiveth anything except to be given to him from above. My friends, there's the Spirit, the word of wisdom, and the word of knowledge. And you see, begin to see that all these gifts are tied up in Christ. Unless you know Him and the Lordship of Christ, you can never know the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
This brings to the close another broadcast, and we want to thank you for your letters and gifts that keep these messages going out over the Voice of Truth program each week. Again, the title of the message was The Gifts of the Holy Spirit, Wisdom and Knowledge. This is number 210 in this series, and you may have a pre-printed copy simply by requesting it. All of the messages preached by Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. on this broadcast are also available on cassette tapes for $3 each. This tape includes the singing by the radio choir, the letter reading by Ms. Wylene, and then the message. And I'd like to mention in closing our book of the month while I have a moment. It's The Holy Spirit, His Gifts and Power by Dr. John Owen. Among the numerous and valuable works of Dr. Owen's, this discourse on the Holy Spirit claims a principal place. It's been thought that maybe it's his masterpiece. There's not anything done by us, he says, that is holy and acceptable unto God, but is in effect the Spirit's operation. Everything that we receive comes to us through the Holy Spirit. This alone may convince us how necessary it is to be well instructed in what concerns the Spirit. And it's The Holy Spirit, His Gifts and Power by Dr. John Owen. It sells for $9.95 here from the Radio Bible and Book Room, postpaid $9.95. We want to take this time to thank you, tell you how much we appreciate bringing this old-time, old-fashioned gospel message. Yes, we know that we are old-fashioned here at Radio Mission. And folks asked us why. Because we preach the old-time gospel. We're not modern by any stretch of the imagination. And we're asking you to pray for us, write us. Would you sit down and write us? Would you just sit down this morning, tonight, whenever you hear this message? And that's what a lot of the radio preachers do. I don't much think too much of it, but they say, get up now and go write me. Well, would you write me? If you will, include the call letters of this station. We'd be so happy to hear from you. Many of you have never written. Our mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. That's Radio Missions, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking. It's so good to have been with you. And I want to just say, may the Lord's richest blessings rest upon you. This is the Voice of Truth broadcast.